Blessed be God, Creator, Savior, and Advocate, who journeys with us, whose justice and compassion endures forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we welcome you amongst us today and celebrate the gift of life that you have lavished upon each of us. We ask that you would open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds so that we may receive your wisdom. Open our spirits so that we may know your guidance. Open our hearts so that we may receive your love. All of this we ask in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
Hey, honey. Happy Black History Month. That was my version of a Dakota good morning me greeting, which is tied into my homily this morning. I like to begin this homily by reading a Joy Sutphen poem because I feel it's germane to what I'll be talking about in this homily. Appropriately enough, it's entitled "In the Beginning." I think this place was often a village, and smoke from the fires hung like ropes in the air. I think we are standing on bones and feathers, broken shells. This place was star-crossed, moon-beamed, earthquaked. The wind blew on a silver horn, and light went around in a golden bowl. This place was once a river, and before that it was a garden, filled with every kind of fruit tree, everything that was good to eat. I think something happened here. I think this is the place where deals were made, and the angels held their breaths in the sky above. I will venture to say that my esteemed colleague and maker was alluding to the fall and the loss of Eden or paradise, maybe transposed just a little bit onto her home territory of rural Stearns County. For me, the poem brings thoughts of what this place, Gustavus, St. Peter, the Minnesota River Valley, must have looked like before Europeans settled it, which also leads me to think about the people who inhabited this place then, the Dakota people. It makes me think about what happened here, whereas Joyce wrote, "Right down the river, north of town, deals were made, and angels held their breath in the sky above." Of course, I'm speaking of the treaty signing, where the Dakota people basically ceded this land, as well as most of what would eventually become the state of Minnesota, away to the federal government. The Dakota people were never compensated for this land they ceded in that treaty. Subsequently, the Dakota War of 1862 broke out. People were slaughtered on both sides, natives and newly arrived Swedish immigrants. The tide of battle turned against the Dakota. They lost the war. Afterwards, they were rounded up in mass and removed from this area. 38 Dakota men and boys were tried in Mankato, found guilty of murder of those settlers who were killed during the conflict, and hung a day after Christmas in Mankato that year. It was the largest mass execution in the history of our country. So why do I bring up Indians in a homily supposedly to be written celebrating Black History Month? Frankly, because I'm haunted by the Dakota War. I always was, even as a student, when I first learned about it from my English professor, John Rasmirsky, in the early 1970s when he was writing a long historical poem about the conflict. The three Native Americans who were fellow DEMO students with me back then haunt me as well. Two of them didn't make it through the first semester. I remember meeting Trudy and Cheryl where the old water tower used to stand by the circle drive there one day. They were from Oklahoma. I think they were either Cherokee or Choctaw. They weren't happy campers at all. Very, very homesick, and met me at the water tower to say goodbye. They were just going to hitchhike back to Oklahoma. They didn't tell anybody in the administration, but they did want to say farewell to me. I remember Trudy laughing and telling me that this is no place for us, of course meaning Indians, and then gave me a knowing look that at the time perplexed me and then haunted me for the next 40-odd years. I'm haunted by the memory of Rodney, the other native student I knew from Oklahoma, also in Demos. Once, on the third floor Sorenson, I saw him at the end of the hallway dressed as a hockey goalie, as drunken white frat boys, well into their cups, took slap shots at him from halfway down the hall as they joked about him being an Indian and how they were going to instruct him on the finer points of goalkeeping as a kind of civilizing exercise on their part. I remember Rodney looking at me through his goalie's mask, humiliated, then turning away. I quickly left the floor and retreated to my room, disgusted, angry, and myself humiliated by what I had just witnessed. By the spring, Rodney was gone too. I'm haunted by Barbara Feaser Stewart, a member of the Mwakoden Sisseton Band of Dakota. She was a visiting professor of anthropology here, the first to serve in a position that would become the Bruce Gray postdoctoral fellow. It was the early 1990s. I had just been put on a tenure track as a professor and struggling myself to keep afloat here. I remember Barbara and I used to get together and vent, share war stories, and she'd tell me some of the most stupid, racist stuff my colleagues and fellow faculty members would utter to her then. Suffice to say, like Trudy, Cheryl, and Rodney, she was not a happy camper at Gustavus either. Sadly, I couldn't be of any real use or help to her, since at the time I had my own cross to bear as well. I lent a sympathetic ear, but other than that, I didn't do much else. She was gone after that year. She did leave me her graduate thesis she was working on at the time as a farewell present. I still have it in my office to this day. It's difficult, but actually a bit easier to teach black literature or history at this predominantly white college than it is native literatures and poetry. You can literally bring the chains, whips, and slave ship right into the classroom, and the students, though certainly affected by this sad and awful history, seem to readily engage it. I think partly because it's mostly happened someplace far away from here. Whereas when I teach Native American literature or history, I notice a complete change in the atmosphere of the class and the students. I sense a defensiveness and an unease, and I figured out that what I was teaching was indeed closer to home than antebellum plantation mansions and whip-wheeling overseers. In fact, the Dakota War was fought all around Gustavus and St. Peter, and the college itself moved here from Red Wing a mere year after Dakota had been defeated, many hundreds of them killed as a result, and permanently removed from the area and the state by force. Not much mentioned about this in the official college history, with the exception of a program marking the 150th year anniversary of the war organized by Elizabeth Baer and Ben Lennett before the 150 and counting celebration of the college's founding here. There was little said about it either. I call it the 800-pound teepee in the room that no one in Lake Wobegon ever wants to talk about very much. But in celebrating Black History Month, and a hard struggle and still arduous journey of African Americans here on these shores of America, I would also like to acknowledge the history and the struggles of the Dakota people who lived here perhaps on this hill, for centuries before the college came to St. Peter, and all those native peoples who were members of this college community in the time after. So Trudy, Cheryl, Rodney, Barbara, this Black History celebration is for you. Indeed, keeping it all close to home, all in the Gustavus family, because Joyce was right. I think something happened here. I think this is the place where deals were made and angels held their breath in the sky above.
Let us go forth from this place to love and to serve. Thanks be to God.